This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Tuesday. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. I'm live in our D.C. studios. Danny is still at the beach, but he is with us nonetheless. Daniel, is it sunnier? Is it an actual beach day at the beach today?
Oh, 100%, my friend. It is sunny in the city today. It was perfect. Yesterday, our first bad weather day that we've had over the course of our, whatever it is, 10, 11 days down here. So the price you pay, you take the charge. You know, you take the fastball off the ribs to have days like today. Just perfect. Low 80s, sunny, little bit of a Drew Brees. Ocean's perfect. Phenomenal. The only adversity we encountered are your standard issue people from Pennsylvania that don't stand in front of their tent or their umbrella. You know, I'm talking about beach etiquette where you need to stand in front of your umbrella for a million reasons. They spread out and go everywhere. And they've got fishermen among them, which I think is obnoxious when there are people around. And they just kind of don't care about staying in front of their tent. That's the level of adversity we're talking about. Not bad.
I don't think I've ever been to the beach and not seen the one guy with the bucket that he's sitting on, like, actually fishing in the ocean, which is, to me, one of the weirdest things ever. I guess it's fun for somebody to try to catch a fish in the ocean, like, 11 feet from where people are standing. But there's always one guy doing that. And if you're first thing in the morning and no one's around, I get it. Like, on a busy beach with just kids all over and this guy's just fishing. That's very odd to me.
I think it's so obnoxious. And again, I like fishing. I enjoy it. And I understand that fishing is fun. It's peaceful. It's relaxing. And there are places to fish, and you should go to those places. But to your point, when there's a bunch of people around, and you're not in front of your own space, and you've kind of, you know, morphed and walked over and moved away from your kids because you don't want to fish near them, but you're fine fishing near mine or somebody else's or the nice Carolina couple or the New Jersey family that's traveled down, you're just obnoxious. It's just really, really self-important to draw more marine and aquatic life into our general area. Nobody needs that. Please don't fish in front of people. Please wait until it's not as populated. But by all means, just do your selfish thing.
Also, and this is completely ignorant because I have no idea what you can catch and what you can't while doing that, standing on a beach, I just assume the juice is never worth the squeeze. There's no way you're going to catch something worth your while standing on a crowded beach fishing, but maybe I'm wrong on
100%.
That. 100%. I'm sure someone can send me a picture of the time they caught the 11-foot-long shark or whatever.
No, it's like the tiny little fish, and they always throw it back, and like I'm sure that was productive. Deep sea fishing is another animal.
Yeah.
You catch big old 25, 35, 40-pound type animals that you can eat. These are just little stupid fish that hang out near the breaks. It's not worthwhile. Just all you're doing is being a disruptive, selfish jerk. But anyway, that's my adversity today.
Rich Eisen thinks Washington's going 12-5. You're going to hear from him in about 3 minutes. But a couple of things I want to let you know we will be talking about as we continue on Grant and Danny. So at 2:45, Juan Soto is on absolute fire. Last night, he hit a home run. Soto has now homered 5 times in 4 games since the All-Star break. And I think it's fair to say that Juan Soto was able to benefit from participating in the home run derby. Nats scored 18 runs last night. They destroyed the Marlins, and he helped get the party started in the first inning.
Now pitch, swung on, hit in the air to deep left. Brinson going back, way back, over his head. It is gone, goodbye! Drive, home run to straightaway left field for Juan Soto.
More on Soto in 40 minutes. By the way, this disappointing, down, bad year that he's having, he's now hitting over 300 in a year in which in Major League Baseball, the average hitter's hitting around 240. And he's got an OPS over 930. So tell me more about what a disappointing season this has been for Soto.
I blinked. I'm kidding you. I'm not kidding. It was like it felt like a week ago where I was talking to a buddy, and I think Soto was hitting 273 with 10 homers or whatever. You know what I mean? It just seems like it was yesterday that was happening. And now you go, oh, he's having a nice season. That's all it takes is a guy that's that good, that got his swing locked in. By the way, that was an absurd home run. That shouldn't have gone out. But it's good to see my old neighbor, Roscoe P. Detweiler, getting shellacked at Nationals Park. That's an interesting career oddity, or odyssey, rather. He kind of came back and a little bit of full circle. He got hammered yesterday by the Nats.
Are you saying his career was part audacious, part audio, and part odyssey?
I'm saying that. You should download the app if you don't have it.
The Odyssey app, used to be radio.com, is how you can take the show on the road with you. So we'll get into that at 2:45. Also, 3 o'clock, I want to talk NBA Finals with you. NBA Finals Game 6 is tonight. The Bucks can wrap this series up. They lead 3-2. Giannis Antetokounmpo is on the precipice of winning a championship.
We got to do our job first, so we got to be in the present as much as possible. I cannot, you know, focus in celebrating. You know, I can't focus in that right now, you know, because I feel like you get too ahead of yourself. I got to focus right now. And then when the game comes tomorrow, focus in each possession at a time. Possession at a time, as I said, play good basketball, compete as hard as possible, and put ourselves in a position to be able to win that game. That's all you can ask for, and hopefully we win. If we win, great. If we don't, we have one more chance. You know, but if we win, it'd be nice to celebrate with the fans inside and outside and with our families, because this is it's something historical that happened in the city. It's happening in the city right now.
If there is a more likable superstar in sports than Giannis, I don't know who it is.
Oh, he's great. I mean, you know, what's funny about this series, I mean, and we do this in sports, you and I, when Phoenix goes up 2-0 and Milwaukee hadn't played well early in the season, or in the series, rather, people declared it over, and is it going to be a sweep? And we kind of went, well, not so fast. Now everybody's kind of declaring Milwaukee the winner in this. And I know what happened. They won Game 5. Statistically, they got a great chance to do it. But it's not as if Game 4 was a blowout. It was tied with a minute 36 left at 9-9. It was a one-possession game until the very waning moment. Same thing here in Game number 5. It was, you know, Phoenix has a lead, and it took a bunch of great plays down the stretch by Milwaukee to end up winning the thing. But those games were not blowouts. So these series is still very much alive for Phoenix. Uphill climb, and I think Milwaukee's going to win it, but this is not some sort of done deal, in my opinion.
More on the NBA Finals at 3 o'clock. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Let's start with where we wanted to get the show underway today, and that is with some audio that came out toward the end of our show last night. And this was Rich Eisen on his radio show talking about the Washington football team. And he is the latest of a slew of very respected NFL analysts, hosts, people who have been around the game forever, who talk to a lot of people in football, to be very, very high on the Washington football team. This is what Rich Eisen had to say on his show.
Come on, man. McLaurin, Samuel, you saw how that kid Gibson ran the ball last year.
I love Gibson. I'm keeping him in fantasy.
Okay. Come on now.
You ain't getting by Tampa Bay, though. Tampa Bay's going back, people.
When the Washington football... All right, let's do this. Let's go.
Let's do it. Yeah. Oh, baby. Hang on. Yeah, Mike, let me get the music.
Stand by.
Films, bells. Let's go.
Here we go. But scramble the Jets.
Scramble the Jets.
I need the music.
Scramble the Jets. Let's go.
And I need the schedule. I need a pen.
Well, you see, I was ready.
I got a pen. I got the music. Schedule's coming.
I can't have everything
schedule's
ready.
Schedule's coming.
Attaboy,
hey,
Hoskins.
Oh, Hoskins.
Before Rich? Okay. I mean, week one loss.
Here we go.
What are we doing?
We week one loss, home for the Chargers. Chargers going east?
Nah.
Are you kidding me?
Rich, all you've done early this game, week and this offseason is talk about Justin Herbert.
Great. So I don't think he's going
to... I'm going to jump in because I don't want to hear Rich Eisen go through the entire schedule. I'll be very honest with you. The point of the dude's story is he had the Washington football team going 12-5, Danny.
12-5.
12-5. Now, I get that there's an extra game. I get that they're playing 17 now. They've never done that before. They have not won 11 games in my lifetime since I was having my diaper changed by my parents. They haven't won more than 10 games at any point, and they've only won 10 games a couple of times. And when they've done that, it's because they won 7 in a row at the end of the year when they were 3-6 or five in a row when they were 5-6, and then went on some magical carpet ride that ended shortly thereafter in the playoffs. But he said 12 wins, and this is not that abnormal. When people talk about Washington, you've heard other people like Mike Florio saying they're one of the best teams in the NFC. When you hear the list of the Seattles and the Tampa Bays, people are throwing Washington into that list now.
Again, we talked about this a bit yesterday when Ryan Baldinger brought it up, right? Or we talked to him, Baldy, about it. And he's bullish on them as well. And the league, I think league-wide, is. Because people like Ron Rivera a lot. They won the division last year. And without really close examination, you'd go, hey, they're well-positioned. It's a young core. Nothing but first-round picks on the defensive line. Add another first-round pick playing a couple yards off the football in Jamin Davis. They've got talent on defense. Great defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio, a guy that's bona fide, someone that's had success in his career on the defensive side, developing players like Ron Rivera. They dramatically improved an offense that was, quite frankly, inadequate last year. They invested heavily. You've got a veteran, steady hand, I put that in quotation marks, at quarterback, but you added weaponry to a group that desperately needed improvement. If that offense was average last year, they absolutely could have been a 9-10-win team.
With last year's schedule, playing against those quarterbacks. But you're
not
playing the schedule. You're not playing those quarterbacks.
That's it.
The quarterbacks that they beat last year, Andy Dalton, Ben DiNucci was one of the quarterbacks they beat. Ryan Finley, when it looked like Joe Burrow might actually have them on the ropes. The ghost of Ben Roethlisberger. That's four of the seven. I'll keep going. Nate Sudfeld, when Jalen Hurts had them on the ropes. That's five. Nick Mullins, on a neutral site, by the way. Not even Nick Mullins in San Francisco. That's six. And let me think of the seventh here. I'll pull it in a second. But if you
It's not an impressive list. It's not Hall of Famers.
If you name the quarterbacks they played last year, it's really simple. It's like, okay, is that guy really good? Did he have a great career? Then they lost that game. If there's a quarterback who came off the bench and is not any good, then they probably won that game.
Carson Wentz is the other name in week one, right?
Thank you. Carson Wentz in the first game of the season. Who got benched, who ended up in a different city, and who has mechanics that need to be completely reworked or else his career.
Yeah, not because everything was good. It's not because everything was going according to plan. So, yeah, you and I both know that. And I'm not saying I'm here to put cold water on elevated expectations because the team has acted accordingly. The team has behaved as if they think they're going to be pretty good. I will say this until I'm blue in the face. You don't go get a 39-year-old quarterback to be your guy if you think you're going to take a step back. They believe they have a chance to win the division again. And they do, by the way, because the division isn't any good. That's dictated their thinking in a way that I wouldn't do. I would not worry about who's in my division at this stage of their development and their building and trying to figure out how I'm going to be good for a sustained period of time and maybe even, God forbid, be great one of these times. But league-wide, Rivera's reputation is so good, and the disastrous off-field non-football stuff doesn't seem to be ruining things. Because before, there was always this bridge between Dan Snyder and Vinny Bumbatz and then Bruce Allen, where those guys were going to interfere and get in the way. It feels, I think, nationally to people like, no, Ron Rivera's got this. And the Martys. It's Ron and the Martys. It's the football guys are doing football stuff. This business stuff, this they can't get a stadium, their name change, all the embarrassments, the Wilkinson report, that's not getting into the film room. That's not going to bother anybody. There is a bullishness. There is a confidence. There is an enthusiasm league-wide about this team that we haven't seen, quite frankly, since the end of 2012 or the start of 2013. Now, it turns out that wasn't justified, but that excitement then was very real and palpable. You and I experienced that covering this team in this town. It hasn't been that way since then, in my opinion.
It's got me fired up, though, I'll say this. And the fact is, while, yes, last year was fluky, I don't care what anybody says it was, 7-9 winning the division shouldn't happen. They didn't win the division because of anything they did. What they did was go 7-9. They won the division because of things that other teams couldn't do. Not a crime. You accept 7-9 and you move on. They pushed the Bucs in the playoff game. They played Tampa Bay better than just about anybody other than maybe Green Bay. I enjoyed last season. I had a blast. I was jumping up and down cheering as Taylor Heinicke was playing his butt off in the postseason. No one should apologize for that. But you can also just admit that was a fluky playoff run. They didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. They got to the playoffs as a sub-500 team who probably should have gone 7-9 based on the schedule, based on the talent, based on who they played when they played them. It's not like they won three more games than they should have. They were
better. About how good they were.
Better coming into the year than the 3-13 record. They got Jay Gruden blown out. They were 7-9-ish team a bunch of years before that. So that to me, was not like Ron Rivera waved some magic, you know, wand over top of the team and they suddenly became a division champion. No, a 7-9 team went 7-9 and everyone around them stunk. Cool. That happened. But they did have a great offseason. The only thing really they've done all offseason that I didn't like at all was the Brandon Scherff extension, which doesn't matter that much. It's a one-year rental. You know my philosophy on one-year contracts. Generally, they can't kill you. It's not that bad, not that big a deal. Otherwise, I love what they've done by adding Samuel, by putting pieces on the offensive line, not just for this year, but for the future on the right side with Cosme, to go with Cornelius Lucas, bringing in Leno. Some of the decisions they made defensively I really like, drafting Jamin Davis. There's a lot to like about this team, and then you start to hear guys like Eisen, who are national and have no horse in this race, say 12-5. This was Baldinger on our show yesterday. Baldy's our Odyssey NFL insider, and we asked him. We said, dude, Rich Eisen said 12 wins today. That's crazy, right? Here's what he said about that.
I can see them definitely double-digit wins. You know, 9 is the bare minimum for this football team. This defense has they were the fourth-ranked defense last year, and on paper, I believe they're better. And I believe Chase Young is just getting started. I mean, he was good last year, and he was fun to watch. But he's got a lot of room to grow. And if he grows and William Jackson balls out like I think he is, and Jamin Davis gives him an upgrade, you know, you just keep going through the roster. You know, you get Landon Collins back to, in addition to what, you know, Cam Curl did a year ago. I mean, I see this defense definitely being a top three defense. And if you go into games where you can keep the score at 17 or fewer points, you got a chance to win all these games. So I think they're going to be a handful defensively. Now, you know, health is always an issue. But I believe they're going to be a good football team. And I can see them winning 10, 11, 12 games for sure.
It is hard, Danny, not to get really excited as a fan. First and foremost, the talent on the roster exceeds what they've had in years and years and years. They're not set at quarterback for the future. They may not even be set at quarterback for this season. But otherwise, outside of the most important position, they're as loaded as they've been in a long time. And now a lot of the pundits who are normally saying last place, sub 500, are saying double-digit wins. How do you not get pumped?
It is a better position to be in. You know what I mean? All I've ever wanted, I don't say ever won. I used to want Super Bowls and division titles and, you know, playoff wins and make an RFK bounce up and down. So let me rephrase. What I've wanted for a while is to not be a punchline. I've wanted to, when I'm in a group of buddies of mixed company where people are from all over the country in terms of football fandom, when I'm introduced, yeah, he's a Washington fan. I don't want jokes. I want there to be no jokes. I want to not be embarrassed. And we've passed that threshold now, haven't we? I mean, again, some of the off-field stuff, we know about the investigations and how horrible Dan Snyder and that culture was, and maybe still is, who knows. But the point is, football-wise, I would much rather be in this spot. Expectations are good. It means people have kind of taken notice, and you've done something correct. It's not your normal HTTR blogger bro that's just screaming that they're going to win the Super Bowl every year, despite a lot of evidence smacking in the face to the contrary. There is reason for optimism here. I'll take that every time.
And next, let's answer this question then. It's not just these two guys that I'm referencing saying 12-5 and double-digit wins. I've got some others I can throw out for you in a moment. But is this team being overhyped based on last year's result being lucky and a strong offseason, or are they actually as good as all of these experts say? That's the question for you. Overhyped or this good? 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll open up the Gambit DC listener lines at 800-636-1067, and Danny and I are going to answer that question next. We'll get into the specifics, the numbers on Juan Soto's heater since the break at 2:45. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is it really out of, is that a hot take, Washington going to the Super Bowl this year?
To the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah, a little hot. Rich, they are 22-1 to win the
NFC. Yeah, there's like two or three NFC teams that are better than them. That
four or three. One, two, three. There's nine, ten
well,
better
I mean,
than them.
Okay, and the odds.
They have the same odds, Rich, just in case if you're curious, as the Chicago Bears.
That's crazy talk.
That's crazy.
Come on, man. McLaurin, Samuel, you saw how that kid Gibson ran the ball last year.
I love Gibson.
Okay. Come on now. I know that people are going to be like, what, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? What did you just do?
Yeah,
I just gave them 12-5. I did
Jeez.
It. I got to back my play if I think they can make
well,
it.
Well, yeah. Obviously.
I mean, I got to back my play here.
Yeah. So Fitzmagic MVP?
No.
But Chase Young, Defensive Player of the Year.
Yes. He's the MVP of their team. Chase Young.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
All Fitz has to do is just throw it in a couple of windows that he
shouldn't.
He shouldn't.
Yeah.
But I love it. I'm high on him.
You're high. That's good.
I don't think they. I don't think I'm. I don't think it's out of the realm that they make it.
Oh.
I don't think they do because you know I'm not betting against Tom Brady.
No, you can't.
Is it just because we live here and we're used to the disappointment and we know about the history of this team that when we hear someone outside of DC like Rich Eisen saying they could make a Super Bowl run, really good. They're 12-5. It seems insane. I hear that, and I think, what is he talking about? That's crazy talk. Did he take crazy pills? That's what I think, Danny, when I hear that.
Whenever I hear, and this is just because we're so used to this cycle here in Washington, I think a lot of fans finally just pulled the ripcord and said enough of this. But we would do this every year. I mean, that moniker of offseason champions was very apt. Something would happen. The season would be disappointing. Everyone would grumble and say, never again. I'm so annoyed. I hate this. I'm fed up. I can't stand it. I'm never going back. Blah, 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 blah. You wait a couple of months. The pain sort of subsides. Ta-da! Big new toy, right? New signee. New high-priced free agent. New coach. New white knight. New savior. General manager. PR guy. Front office person. Whatever it is. There's always something. And then they mail the season tickets out, and then it sucks you right back in. And you start doing the hype, and you read the offseason article about the guy in the best shape of his life, hired a personal chef, this guy did Pilates, this guy did ballet, and you start to believe it. And it happened every year, and the rug got pulled enough times. Enough times, Lucy, with the football, right? Where you go, I just don't believe expectations anymore. I get it. I'm one of you. I got tired of getting punched in the nose every time I answered the door. I stopped answering the door. It's weird to feel this, where the expectations are legitimate. I don't think anybody realistically is saying Super Bowl and they shouldn't. I don't think anybody's saying NFC title game and they shouldn't. A repeat division winner for the first time since the Eagles were doing this in the mid to early aughts? Yeah, that's not out of the question. And maybe they're the co-favorite along with the Cowboys. That is a reasonable thing. That's more successful than we've been in some time. We can kind of walk out and feel the sunshine a little bit. It's okay.
I want to react to that in a second. We're going to get to the calls as well. Do you guys think this team is being overhyped with national pundits saying they're 11-12 win team over the last couple weeks? Or do you think they're actually that good? 800-636-1067. Real quick, though, I want to bring in Darius because it's Top 5 Tuesday, and we need to know so we can start putting our list together in the breaks, Danny. What have our listeners on Facebook chosen for us to rank today? So, Darius, Top 5 Tuesday can be a category about sports, not about sports. You always post going into the show, facebook.com/Grant and Danny for people to make suggestions, and then you choose something that you think is interesting of those top five categories. So what are we looking at today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So the suggestion that that stood out to me was top five major league ballparks. I kind of want to expand it, though, and go with just overall your top five stadium experiences. You know, doesn't have to be just baseball. We could do football. We could do arenas.
Ooh. So historical too, or they have to be current stadiums, do you think?
Ooh. Hmm. I kind of like historical.
I do too.
Yeah. All right.
So
that's going to change my list.
I have one more clarifying question while we're being annoying here. And that is, are you saying these are the top five like stadiums we've been in, nicest, or like our five best experiences watching a game somewhere?
Yes, your five best experiences watching a game somewhere.
I like that a lot.
Oh, all right. Okay, neat. Okay.
So we will do that coming up at, let's say, right around 3:35 or so ahead of the double play. We'll get to our top five Tuesday. We're going to rank the top five stadium experiences that we've ever had. I'm going to go out on a limb and say FedEx Field will not make the cut for Danny.
It will. It might, actually, believe it or not.
No.
That might be a stunning upset. It might make it, actually.
I don't think that's a possible thing.
There's a legitimate chance is all I'm telling you.
Well, that's insane. You've never been to game? You haven't been to five games before? That's what you're saying?
No.
That's an interesting turn of events.
Game against the Cowboys where Terry Glenn stopped running routes because he was afraid. That was pretty great.
That's good.
It's a long time ago, but it was a really fun game.
So we'll give you our rankings coming up in about an hour from now, right before 3:35 or so. But let's get to the phones. 800-636-1067. Is the Washington football team actually this good? Are they deserving of the hype of winning 11 or 12 games? Vic's in Akakik. What's up, Vic?
What's up, Grant? What's up, Danny?
Hey, dude.
I've been waiting to discuss this for some time because I've been hearing the same pundits and analysts talking about this on several sports shows.
It's everywhere, isn't it, Vic? You see this all over the place.
It is everywhere. And I'm going to tell you why. The first reason why the Washington football faithful in this town have an issue with it, because we're traumatized. It's as plain as that. We are traumatized.
100%.
And we have seen this for decades. And we have been grossly let down for years. So logical football talk, logical football moves, acquisitions, structure, accountability, stability, even seeing it before our face, we don't believe. And this is what the guys that, as you said, Grant, have no horse in the race. This is what they are analyzing based off. They're doing their job. They're saying, per the season the Washington football team had last year, with not a lot of talent, with growing with stability, growing with structure, getting the most out of the talent they had, in addition to their offseason acquisitions and spots where they needed them, in addition to their draft picks, in addition to the reputation, the applied reputation, and the real-time effort of their coach mentally and structurally in that organization, this equates to wins when you play football. This equates to wins in the NFL. And what they're saying is the Washington football team has added enough acquisitions that if they...
your phone's breaking up. Sorry, buddy. They had a great offseason. No one is going to tell you they didn't have a great offseason. It's not just the trauma for me, though, Vic. I'm going to tell you. Because I would say if I'm being asked, are they overhyped or are they that good? I'm going to pick overhyped. That's not to say that I don't think they're good. So don't think I'm hating or I'm down on this team. I think they should absolutely be in that 10-7 conversation with a lot of other teams in the NFL. I think they're basically on par with the Cowboys, maybe a hair ahead of the Giants, but close to on par with the Giants, depending on Daniel Jones. I think they're better than the Eagles. That's just within their own division. You're hearing some of these combos like the Eisen combo we just played for you where they're saying there might be two or three better teams in the NFC. I just don't believe that. Like, I would take all three of the teams at the top of the NFC West, maybe even all four, over Washington potentially. Just thinking about one division, and they're saying maybe they're the third best team in the NFC. I just think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, and people can say, well, it's the Charlie Brown pulling the football out when you kick thing, or Danny was talking about answering the door and it's ding-dong ditch. It's not just that I've seen them lose so much over the years. There's actual football reasons for this. Their quarterback is a guy that gets benched all the time, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has never been a full-time starter who could keep a job in any organization. He's always the boyfriend that you have. It's kind of fun to go to a concert with, but you know you're not going to marry that guy. Generally, that's not the guy that takes you to 12-5 or to the promised land. By the way, and I don't do quarterback wins and losses, you know that, none of the teams that Fitzpatrick has quarterbacked have ever made the playoffs. But we're saying because he's here now that it's just a lock that Washington's going to. That's interesting to me. It's also that there's a natural defensive regression coming, probably, when you're not playing the teams that they played, the quarterbacks that they played last year, ranking atop the NFL. I think the defense is going to be really good. I think they're going to be in that 9 to 13 range probably in the NFL. Yards, I don't care about. They might rank in the top 5 or 7, whatever. But I'm saying among the best defenses in the league next year, I think they'll be back end top 10 probably. That's about where I have them. They were top 5 this year, but they play a harder schedule. They play a lot more difficult quarterbacks. I got a tweet here, Danny, and so do you, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, from this guy who says, you guys are beating a dead horse about the opposing quarterbacks last year. It's pointless. Consider that Washington's quarterback play was also horrendous and will be better. Yeah, if you're talking about wins and losses purely, but I'm talking about their defense. Last year, their defense got to play terrible quarterbacks all the time. This year, they won't. Everyone's just taking last year's defense and moving it into 2021 and saying, okay, so your defense is this and your offense is better, when there is a real chance that the defense could actually regress some. Nobody's talking to that.
Yeah, well, beyond that, GP, the last time we saw that defense, they gave up more than 500 yards to the Tampa Bay Bucs. We saw that same defense, by the way, early in the season when the offense, mind you, was doing them no favors. Their offense was a disaster, especially early on in the year. But when they needed a stop against Cleveland in the second half to maybe give themselves a chance, they couldn't do it. It was run whatever you want. The Ravens could do whatever they want at any point in time. Same with the Rams if you're trying to win a defensive struggle type game. We saw them get gashed by Arizona. This defense was very good at times and took advantage of bad offenses, which is above a threshold. They deserve credit for that. They also deserve the other side of that, which is, well, when you played people when they were pretty good, you got run over, and you didn't really stop people. You had a running – people could run against you at times, and Tampa Bay seemed to have no problem with whatever it is that you're trying to design.
How about just this,
Danny? It's not as if this is the 85 Bears.
They went 7-9 last year, beating the Eagles twice, once where they came back from down, I think it was 17, and another game in week 17 when the Eagles, it seemed like, tried to lose the game by benching a quarterback that was giving them fits. They beat the Cowboys two times without Dak. They beat San Francisco when they were missing dozens of players on a neutral site. They beat Cincinnati after Burrow, who was having them pull their hair out, got knocked out of the game. And they beat the Steelers a handful of days after they played the Ravens.
Like, that one to me was the impressive win. Now, I know it wasn't great for the Steelers, but the Steelers at that point were undefeated. They went on the road and won that game. That was the most impressive win of the season to me by far.
It was a really great win. We reveled in it as we should have. We celebrated it. But they played the Ravens like 4 days before that. That doesn't happen in the NFL where you have to turn around that fast and play another game. For good reason, by the way. Because that's an impossible task for a team, and you don't want to ask teams to do that. So I'm making a case here. It sounds like I'm being negative. That's not my intention. I think they did a really good job last year at weathering some storms and being around 500. I think the coaching staff is above average. I think this roster is the best that it's been in a long, long time. I am hopeful going into the year that they can go 10-7. I think this is a wild card or a playoff team, however they get there. But if the point is we're looking at all these pundits saying 12 wins, are they that good? I have a hard time seeing that. 800-636-1067. We'll take a couple more calls on this on G&D. Think about this, too. Wilkes on Twitter said, Haskins caused the Washington football team a couple of their losses last year. If not for him, maybe they would have been a couple of wins better. I'm not sure that I completely buy that one player cost them those games, but the Browns game jumps out to me as one. He was so bad in.
He was a disaster.
That maybe that's a win. You know, if it's Smith, who wasn't good either, or Kyle Allen or Heinicke or something, maybe. So if we're saying they barely won this game because, then we can also go the other way and say maybe they could have won a game or two they didn't if a couple things were different. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. We'll get back into this in a moment. Also, Juan Soto is playing the best baseball of his season right now. Can he get hot enough to keep the Nationals in the race with the Mets? And is it solely up to him at this point? We'll explain on G&D.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Leon with a batting practice-like mechanic. Short, right-handed pop out of his hand there. The 0-1. Soto hits it to deep left center field. This one going, going, and it is gone! Juan Soto with a three-run homer. And the Nationals now lead it 18-0.
Our buddy Pete Medhurst filling in on Nats Radio on the call last night. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We want to talk Juan Soto. Let's push to the top of the hour, our discussion on Soto. I just think it's funny, Danny, that people were down on him, crushing him, saying he's having a bad season. Right now, he's leading the NL in walks and on base percentage. He's got one of the top 10 OPSs in baseball at .933, and he's on pace for 30 homers almost again. Hitting over 300 at a time where nobody hits 300.
Yeah.
And this is
wasn't
a bad
the case
year.
10 days ago or, you know, whatever it was a couple weeks ago. But that's all it took. You and I kind of kept saying, hey, this is bound to happen at some point. You look at some of the advanced data where there was exit velocity, you know, barrel percentage. He was hitting the ball hard, but it was, you know, a lot of Adam balls, a lot of two hoppers, a lot of, you know, a lot of ground balls into shifts and the like. And that home run derby got that power stroke locked back in. He's using the whole field. The most impressive hit he had yesterday, I think, was that fastball up around his shoulders that he spanked down the left field line and kept fair for a double. You just go, there's like eight guys alive that can do that, and he, one of them has to play here, and he's like 19 years old.
Yeah, 22-year-old Juan Soto putting
ridiculous
on a display, and he has been sticking to the pan hot for the Nats. Is he enough, though? Can they stay in the race on his shoulders? Can he go on a Schwarber-esque run, five bolts in four games? Over 12, 13, 14 games. Can he keep this up? We'll get into that in about 11 minutes at the top of the hour. We're also going to spin the NFL team wheel at 3 o'clock. We'll figure out which team we're going to break down and see what kind of chances they have this season. But let's get back to the phones, 800-636-1067. In a word, I say overhyped. Danny, overhyped or that good?
I think overhyped, but I think the exact same thing that you do in terms of the arrow's trending up. I don't think they're going to be as good as people think. I think the quarterback position is not solved. I think Fitzpatrick gets benched a time or two, and I don't think the defense is quite as dominant as people are kind of led to believe without some growth there. I think they're pretty good, though. I think they're good enough to win this division with maybe 9 wins. I've kind of got them pegged in that 9-8, 8-9 sort of range. I think a lot of teams fit that bill, but they're better than they've been.
I think the ceiling is probably 10-7. You heard Eisen say 12-5. He's also got Chase Young as the defensive player of the year. Just as an example of like what has to go your way and how bullish he is. I mean, he had 7.5 sacks last year. I thought he had a really good year. I'm higher on him than you are. But the point is, Danny, defensive player of the year is not something that's happened around here. Like, we'd be in uncharted territory all the way around.
Like, he could double that production and still not get that.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty big leap.
Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, be quick. What do you got?
Yeah, like you guys, overhyped, okay? We're never going to be 12-5, like Eisen said. And unlike Baldy, I don't think 9-8 is the floor. I think that's the ceiling. And here's why. By the way, I still think we're a better team than we were a year ago, and I think it's going to prove out in the end with the record. But we've already talked about the murderer's row schedule, particularly with the elite quarterbacks. When you compare it to the quarterbacks we faced a year ago, it's laughable. The inconsistency of Fitzy, until I see a consistent Fitzy, I'm not buying it. We were pretty injury free compared to recent years a year ago, and I just don't know if our luck can hold up there again. And then again, the COVID thing with so many unvaccinated, I'm worried about unvaxxed players getting COVID, missing games, and that, you know, hurting us.
The low rate is not going to be a benefit, Kevin. There's no doubt about that. Sharp call as always. He mentioned Fitzpatrick, and I wish he had more time to expound upon that, but I'll do it for him. I just have a hard time putting all my eggs in the Fitzpatrick basket, bro. Like, the guy's been around for 15 years. We've seen it. Everyone's like, well, if he doesn't turn the ball over as much, you don't just become something at 40 that you weren't for the rest of your career. Bill in North Carolina, how are you? Thanks for listening on Odyssey.
Hey, guys. thanks very much for having me along. And Danny, you did a cameo. My son set it up. I did some Stone Cold. It was. I think half the East Coast has laughed at that thing so far. So I really
appreciate
it. Oh, that's
awesome. Appreciate you, pal. Thank you.
I'm with you guys. One above or one below 500. I know last year at 7-9, it's kind of a show me year this year because last year they beat up on the Bad News Bears. So I think you have to take that into consideration. But one specter that's bothering me, and I'll go real fast here. It's kind of like the Dan Snyder situation a couple weeks ago. I hate to bring that specter into the whole situation here,
but
it's kind of like the monster movies when we were little kids, when the mad scientist is looking down at the monster and he's saying, okay, all you have to do is turn this dial to the left and you drain his power. You turn it to the right, all bets are off. He's sicked on the village in Germany again. So what happened, I think, is the NFL started to crank it to the left, and then they cranked it all the way to the right. And now I think it's Dan Snyder at full power. So
he's got 100% ownership. We got to get out to join our Richmond audience, but I get where you're coming from. It's hard to bet on a Dan Snyder-owned team. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're spinning the NFL team wheel next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.